Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and once again, I'm delighted to be with you on this, our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer. Now, we have some very special prayer intentions today, and that's what we are all about on our Friday, Healing Day of Prayer, offering prayers for our brothers and sisters to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we are in the middle of July, and I'm sure you know that already. Well, these last few weeks have been such a beautiful, exciting time in our church and in our nation. A lot has been going on, and I'm going to share some of that, a little of that with you today. Now, 2 years ago, we had our National Eucharistic Congress, when four groups of perpetual pilgrims crossed our nation. They joined priests, bishops, cardinals, sisters, the laity, little children, raising up the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, raising it up in procession. And it culminated in Indianapolis, Indiana, with 50,000 to 60,000 people who gathered. They gathered for the closing liturgy. And at the time, we did two programs on In His Sign Catholic Radio, and I walked you through that Eucharistic Congress to explain what was going on at that time. Well, this year, our nation, the United States of America, on July 4th, celebrated the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, of the founding of our nation. And again, our brothers and sisters in Christ processed in a Eucharistic revival. They started on the West Coast, moved over to the southern part of our country, and this time they zeroed in on the 13 original colonies, those colonies that originally made up the United States. And again, they processed up the East Coast, in and out, elevating the Holy Eucharist through 18 dioceses, archdioceses, and the patroness of that revival was St. Francis Xavier Cabrini, Mother Cabrini. How we love Mother Cabrini. And they called it the St. Francis Xavier route, her route. She was a perfect choice. She was the first canonized American saint. And of course, she processed too. She processed all over the world, bringing Christ and his love and his Holy Eucharist to many, many countries. What an amazing woman. What an amazing saint. The theme of this Eucharistic revival was One Nation Under God. And that's part of our Pledge of Allegiance. And as I said, it processed through most of the 13 colonies, going in and out and up. And they began the journey in St. Augustine, Florida. And guess where it culminated? Right here in Pennsylvania. In fact, In His Sign Catholic Radio, Kathleen McCarthy's station here, broadcasts in Pennsylvania. And Philadelphia, well, it's just a few miles from here, where the Declaration of Independence was signed. My friends, how blessed we were. Our forefathers were such great men. And you know, the more we see it, like we were exposed to a lot of it the last few weeks, and it just increases your belief in them and what they did. They were great men like George Washington. They were men of deep prayer. They loved God. And with prayer, our Constitution was brought forth. That magnificent legal historical document. Now, this Eucharistic revival culminated with the closing mass at the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia, with our Archbishop Nelson Perez officiating. There were many choirs joining together, people of different cultures joining together in choir, singing, playing music in concert. So beautiful, my friends. Now, after Mass, another surprise. Well, these were all little surprises that what we're doing here. Another surprise, and that was the congregation left the basilica and they processed to the shrine of St. John Neumann. He was a Bohemian bishop, and he was the Bishop of Philadelphia. So wonderful. Years ago, he was a little man, he was sure, but he established the entire Catholic school system in Philadelphia that many different cities then imitated. And years ago, he brought the 40 hours devotion of the Holy Eucharist, adoration of the body and blood of Jesus Christ, first to Philadelphia, then to our nation, and now out over the world. And when those parishioners left the basilica to do that trek to the shrine of St. John Neumann, Patrick, our engineer, our producer there, Patrick had a video camera, and he took a camera, pictures of all of these people. There were so many of them, but they were slowly walking up Broad Street. What a nice tempo. Slowly walking up as they processed to St. John Neumann Shrine. And Patrick, you did a good job with those pictures. You really did. Wonderful. That was just so wonderful. Now, my friends, all that I just shared with you, it would be enough excitement for a month or two, huh? Our 250th anniversary, so much going on, events for people to see. The people were turning out, going into these little buildings that represented the states, and each state had its own thing that they were showing that represented who they were. It was just wonderful. But I'll tell you what got me, what really struck me, 55 nations across the world sent their tall ships to Philadelphia, and they processed the Hudson River. It was magnificent. And there was one ship in particular. I think it was from Germany. That ship had 21,000 masts on it. Like those sails connected to the points that lift them and everything. It was amazing. And I was just so proud that those nations thought to do that, to come here and celebrate with us. Now, I'm not finished. This is amazing. Where did all this go? The bishops of America on June the 11th consecrated this nation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The entire nation. Can you imagine, my friends, how powerful that is? We were so excited that that power was going forth through and in the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, many of you know that when we speak of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we follow it with the name of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. She was a nun, a sister. I'm sure you've heard of her. Jesus appeared to her and told her he had so much love in his heart for you, me, for all of us, for all of humanity. But Jesus was grieving. He was sad. He was sorrowing because his love was not being returned. He was being ignored, he was being maligned. The love in his heart continued to overflow. So he called Sister Margaret Mary to spread devotion to his Sacred Heart in reparation. Now that's the key word here, in reparation for the abuses against him all over the world. Now last October we did a program on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Saint Margaret Mary, and we shared the many times he appeared to her. He called her his beloved disciple of the Sacred Heart, and he called her the heiress of all of its treasures. He actually spoke those words to her. And he not only revealed his Sacred Heart of flesh, his Sacred Heart is a heart of flesh, but he actually placed her heart in his own Sacred Heart. no words, my friends, to describe that deeply spiritual experience between Jesus and St. Margaret Mary. She suffered. She went through many trials and abuses. Her own sisters didn't believe she saw Jesus. They said she lost her mind. She went through a lot, but she was faithful. She completed the mission that Jesus gave her, devotion to the Sacred Heart all over the world. Now, my friends, after our prayer intentions, I have another surprise for you. I'm going to introduce to you another virtually unknown sister who lived in the late 1860s and was beatified by Pope St. Paul VI in 1975. This sister has a marvelous story about the Sacred Heart. She was a woman who had a lot of courage, like St. Margaret Mary, to do what she did and what happened as a result of her courage. So we're going to begin with prayer, and then I'm going to be very excited to tell you about this sister. So we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, this is such an exciting time in our church, in our schools, in our nation. And I thank you. It's so wonderful when we see the Holy Eucharist, your body and blood, being processed through our cities, through our towns, through our hospitals, through our prisons, with a canopy over the monstrance, with many, many pilgrims following in procession. Lord, it reminds me of my childhood. We stopped whatever we were doing when we saw that procession coming up the street. We were impressed. We reached out to the Eucharist. We joined in. We fell on our knees in adoration. And it awakened in us, as young as we were, to the beauty of our faith and your love for us, Lord, to come to us that way, reviving our worship. We were in awe, and we are still in awe. Lord, in these times, it's so necessary for us to see this. We need you, Lord. We need to experience your overwhelming power in our nation, in the world, power that touches us one on one. No matter how many people are there, it's like you, Lord, are there just for me. So I thank you, Lord, as we pray now for the intentions of our brothers and sisters. We pray through the powerful intercession of your Sacred Heart, of your Sacred Heart. So I'm going to pull this up to you. This is so beautiful. I'm going to hold this up to you. There's the Sacred Heart overflowing with love for us, a flame of love enveloping us and drawing us into your Sacred Heart. We are so blessed, Lord, that on June the 11th of this year, the bishops of the United States consecrated our entire nation to your Sacred Heart. What a gift. Lord, we thank you for that. And my prayer is that the consecration of your Sacred Heart be again raised up and worshiped throughout the entire world. Lord, nothing can come against that power. Nothing can come against that power. Amen. Amen. So now we're going to go to our prayer intentions. We have some right here. Pull this out. And we're going to pray here for, it's an 8-year-old child. She came down with a rash on her body. And her grandmother said that when the doctors tested her, they said it was a rash that could turn into cancer. Of course, the family was surprised. They were quite concerned. And when I followed up after her testing, apparently that has not happened. No cancer. So we are thankful. And we're going to pray for this child that she continues to get good reports, that the rash totally clears. Lord, we pray for wisdom for the doctors. We pray for a complete healing for this child, that the rash disappears. We pray for peace for her and her family. so they could move on and enjoy what's left of this summer, free of all the concern. Lord, we place this beautiful child in the arms of our Blessed Lady. Yesterday was the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, who gave the rosary to St. Simon Stock. And this child may feel the warmth, peace in Mary's arms, and if you feel to pray a rosary for her, that would be wonderful. Her spiritual mother, Mary, let her be healed of any anxiety, Mother. Anything that may try to bring her down and make her sad. And we pray for continued good news for her. We pray for Ron. Now, we prayed for Ron on one of our last programs. Ron was heading to New York for surgery. He had blocked arteries in his heart and legs. They were totally blocked. So we prayed that those blocked arteries be cleared. And we prayed for Ron through the intercession of St. Teresa, say St. Therese, St. Teresa of the Child Jesus. And we prayed with a first-class relic of St. Teresa. Now, when Ron got to New York for his surgery, they had tests again. And the tests revealed that those particular arteries were open. There was no blockage. That was quite an answer to prayer. The doctor, he said, was surprised. And Ron wanted to say to him, it was St. Teresa. And he said it like that. It was St. Teresa. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that to the doctor. Right? Now, Ron had to go back to New York for blockage in another area. Now, when I spoke to him the morning of surgery, he said, can you pray to that St. Teresa for me? I said, Ron, I already did with that relic. His surgery was successful. It was done a little over a week ago. And as I speak to you right now, Ron and his son are today leaving New York and heading for his home in Florida. Ron certainly, my friends, has gone through his life with other serious issues. And God bless him. With the Lord's help and St. Teresa, she's become his favorite saint. He said that. I can see why. Ron, our listeners will certainly continue to pray for you. They're wonderful. And Ron, pray for us as we pray for you. Pray for us as we pray for you. Kind of like a prayer circle, okay? Under the intercession of St. Teresa. God bless you, Ron. So happy for you. So, so happy. It's my dear friend of my brother's. And he has suffered a lot. Now, for those of you who listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio, you're very familiar with the president of our station, Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is wonderful. She is gifted. She is a loving, spiritual human being. And she is beloved. Now, Kathleen's son, Anthony, was in a terrible motorcycle accident. And he has very serious injuries. He lives in Ohio. And Kathleen, the minute she heard this, she flew out to Ohio to be with him. She really didn't know what to expect. She was out there over a month through his surgery, through his treatments, through some of his rehabilitation. And she said, he's gradually coming along. She said, he has a way to go as bones heal, injuries to his head. And what they were able to do was they were able to transport him and return him here where Kathleen lives. So he is in a rehabilitation center. And as she said, he has a way to go, but it's moving in a positive direction. Now, my friends, if you know Kathleen, you know that she totally gives of herself when she is praying for our intentions and the intentions of you, her listeners. So I'm going to ask all of you to keep her son Anthony, her daughter Shannon, and Stephanie in your prayers. This is a very difficult time in her family. And Kathleen has such a beautiful trust in Almighty God. totally surrenders to him. She has a devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we are going to pray now to the powerful healing heart of Jesus. Going to again do this with us, because to see it is to just be so moved by it. Lord, we ask that the flames emanating from your Sacred Heart envelop every part of Anthony's body, every part of Shannon's body, and Stephanie's. Jesus, nothing overpowers the healing light from your Sacred Heart. Cleanse them, heal all that is wounded in them, and restore them to health. Amen and amen. My friends, Kathleen Olby says that she has the best prayer warriors ever. The best, and she's right. Now you are her prayer warriors. I'm going to ask you to pray for Kathleen and her family. And I know you have been, because you have responded. And just know that Kathleen says this to you. This is her famous sentiment that she always says to her listeners. I love you, and I mean it. And that's what she says. So continue, my friends. Continue to pray for her family. Now, this is one. I'd like to pray for Tom. It's a very sad situation. Okay. Tom is married to my niece, Michelle. Great lady. And the day before his birthday, he took their four sons golfing. The ball rolled down a hill. And when he went to get it, either his knee gave out, but he had a terrible fall. Four of his quad muscles on his legs, all four of them, were injured to the point that Tom is unable to walk. They had to put him on large metal braces that keep both of his legs perfectly straight like this, perfectly straight. He said it's very tight and very painful, and he's a tall man. He has to be on those braces for a couple of months. Now, the occupation he has, he's always on his feet. If you were to go to a hospital and you needed an EKG or an echocardiogram or other things dealing with the heart, that's what Tom does. He's one of the lead people who do that in this particular hospital. He has a long recovery ahead of him. He won't be able to work. And what is even more difficult, and in the past we prayed for his wife, my niece Michelle. We prayed for her feet. Both of her feet had to be operated on. She still hasn't come through that yet, because the first surgery on one of them didn't turn out right. So she still has to get that done again, and the other foot. Is that sad or what? Also, she's supposed to have surgery on her hip area. Now, she just canceled that surgery. She said to me, Aunt Gracie, I can't do that now. I have to be here for Tom. And she's hoping she can get these injections in the hip area for her pain. Just picture that scene, my friends. Michelle also works in a hospital. She's back and forth to the hospital to be with him. And when he comes home, it's going to be more difficult. All kinds of special equipment in the house is going to be needed. It's a wonderful family. I love her. I love her to pieces. She's not only my niece, she's my godchild. So, Michelle, praying for you and Tom, and all I keep saying is something really good is going to come from this. Now, I know, Michelle, I know that you love, and we love, Mother Cabrini. We speak of her often. And she, in her life, her entire life, she was injured from a fall that happened to her. She fell into a river. When she was putting little boats with missionaries in it to go to China, she was playing. She fell into a river. We just spoke of her as being the patroness of this Eucharistic revival. She is so powerful. My friends, you know that. And I see no coincidence here. I did a couple of programs on Mother Cabrini, love her, on In His Sign, Catholic Radio. And we all saw her power in that movie, Cabrini. So we go to her right now. Mother Cabrini, Nothing is too great for you to do for others, even establishing hospitals for them, and I see the connection. So I ask you to intercede for this beautiful family of mine and show them the good that will come out of this difficult situation. Mother, you knew impossible trials, and you conquered them every step of the way. So we trust in your love, we trust in your goodness, and we trust in your prayers. Paisan, if I could call you Paisan, love you, love you. Now, we're gonna pray for a family here. This is a very sad situation, very sad. Little four-year-old girl, her name is Aria. Aria went to the St. Pio preschool, and that's in St. Richard's Parish in South Philadelphia. Her family had one of those e-bikes, electric bikes, and little Aria plugged it into a wall, and a fire spontaneously broke out. It burned the house. Little Aria had third-degree burns. She was on a ventilator, but she didn't make it. Her grandmother also died in the fire. She was only 47 years old. The school had grief counselors to meet with children and the families. My friend Mary belongs to that parish, and she shared with me the letter that the principal sent out to everyone. And the principal said this: "Our precious Aria was called home into the merciful, healing hands of our Lord Jesus. I am certain that she was surrounded by the love of our Blessed Mother and embraced in the arms of her Mimi, of her grandmother, Danielle, and her father. Aria's smile will continue to light our hearts. Her playfulness will forever remain in our memories, and her feisty spirit will always be with us." Now, my friends, there was a photo of Aria, and she was smiling. She's so cute. She was smiling. She was holding a paper plate. The children use the plates to draw things on them, and they write on these plates. Well, Aria wrote this on her plate, standing there with a big smile on her face: "I am a child of God." The principal continued, "May all who loved Aria, especially her family, find comfort in the love and support of her family and friends. May the peace and grace of our Lord grant them strength in the difficult days ahead." My friends, what else can you say? It tears your heart out. Pray for Aria's family, her mother, her sister, three brothers. This is a tragedy that will be with them for a long time. But we pray that one day that you, Lord, in your mercy, may lessen their pain. I'm sure Aria is praying for that from above. The school principal said she's now the guardian angel for her family. My friends, we see once again these electric bikes are not toys. I can see how Aria made that mistake. I could have done it myself. She probably saw others plug it in. But there are things you should know in caring for the bike before we plug the bike in to prevent accidents from happening. So please keep that in mind, because many people have these electric bikes. Read the directions as to how to care for them. God bless you, and pray for that family. We're going to take a break now, and you come right back. We have more prayer intentions, and then we'll go on to this sister I told you about.
Every experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Okay, we have these prayer intentions recently came in, and we'll go through them here. Neil is hospitalized with drug issues and a mental disorder. That's so sad. You know, when you see this combination, these drugs in our bodies, and then they work to destroy our minds, does it work, drugs first leading to a mental disorder, or the mental disorder leading to the drugs? Who knows? Whatever. If both of that is not good. Now, he's in the hospital, and let's see. I'm glad he's in a hospital, and I just pray, Lord, that somehow someone there can see something in him that they can work with and help him. We pray for total healing for Neil. We pray for, we don't know his age, Lord, but you know, and you know what he needs, Lord. We're praying for the repose of the soul of Michael C. Michael died a few months ago. He was elderly. He had no family. No family. So, Lord, you were with him when he died. You were with him. His angel was with him. And, Lord, I just pray that when you sent him up there, and I'm believing you did, he had no one, that when he gets up there, he sees everybody that he had. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. Let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Okay, we have Christopher health concerns and Wallace medical problems. Now, we don't know what their situation is, but Lord, you do. You know what they both need in their particular areas of their lives. And Lord, we know they want to be well. We know they want to be well, so we ask you, Lord, to give them what they need to restore them to health. We have Lisa here with breast cancer. Always so frightening, Lord, when you hear that word. I will admit myself, Lord, I had breast cancer in 2009, and I thank the good Lord. I'm still here, and I thank the good Lord for the care I had, and I pray the same thing for Lisa. That they stay on top of that. Lisa, take your medications and just pray. And I ask our listeners to pray for Lisa for her breast cancer, that she be healed, and that maybe someday she could be talking on this mic like I'm doing here. Okay, Lisa? God bless you. Larry, a knee replacement. How many people do you know out there with knee bone problems, huh? I have a few friends who had to have a knee replacement, and boy, did they complain. They were in pain, a lot of pain. Larry, we pray for you. We pray that you have the best doctor, that you researched this, picked a goodie, and that he's going to do that knee replacement, and you're going to be Maybe we want to play a little basketball, huh? We'll pray for that. Okay, we have Michael's 15 years old with many health issues. Many health issues. So this may have started, this may have had these for a while. Must be so hard on the family. 15 years old, he's a child. Oh, Michael. Michael, we pray for you. We pray that they can put this all together and know how to treat you, what to treat you with, and how to bring you out of yourself and make you better and put a smile on your face, Michael. So we pray for that. And then this group here, for Doris, Joanne, Debbie, and their families, for Victor, Owen, and Dolores, no reason given. So, Doris, Joanne, Debbie, pray for your families. I pray, sometimes we pray for them to just be on the right track, do the right thing, be successful, find the Lord, and that's what we're going to pray for that family. And Victor Owen and Dolores, no reason given, but the Lord knows. He knows the reason. So we pray for you and all that you're going through, and that you just want prayer. You want to be enlivened in your faith, and that is beautiful. So they are the recent prayer intentions that just came in. Now, my friends, I promised you, I had another deeply spiritual sister, a nun, who lived in the late 1860s, who may not be as readily known, but who also deeply loved the Sacred Heart of Jesus and did a mighty work for us. Now, there are not many photos of her. I have one here, not many photos. This is okay, kind of. Here she is. There she is. She is Sister Mary of the Divine Heart. That's her name. Sister Mary of the Divine Heart. And you can see here she's wearing a navy veil. But I think when you see all the sisters together, they're wearing black veils. And the white cape over her shoulders, I love it. It's a cream color when you see it. Cream color, and the rest of the habit is a cream color habit. And it looks to be like a silver medal around her neck. It's the Blessed Mother standing, holding the baby Jesus. And if you notice here, in her hand she has a little cross she's holding, and under there's a rosary. You see the beads from the rosary. She had a great devotion to the Blessed Mother, and she felt that it was through the Blessed Mother, if you want a deep faith to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that Mary will guide you the whole way. Now, what I have here is, I have a little bit of a biography on her, and I'm going to read some of it as it leads me to the part that I want to present to you, okay, about her. Name, Sister Mary of the Divine Heart, born on September 8th, 1863. Her name was Maria Droste Vischering. Because of the fragility of her health, she was baptized immediately at birth. She was a German noblewoman. She was a twin. Her brother's name was Maximilian. As a child, she was full of life. She continued her education at the boarding school of the Sacré-Cœur Sisters. Of course, that's French for the Sacred Heart Sisters. Now, at school, she contracted a serious case of pneumonia, so she had to return home to recover. Now, her home was a castle. She lived in a castle. Now, while in the chapel, and the chapel was in the castle where she lived, she had a vision of Jesus Christ, who told her, "Thou shalt be the bride of my heart." She desired to be a nun, and she was stunned and humbled by what Jesus said to her. And when she decided to enter the convent, Jesus again spoke to her and said, "You must enter the convent of the Good Shepherd." Now, there were Sisters of Charity of the Good Shepherd, so she did so. And she was given the name, as I said, Sister Mary of the Divine Heart, the Heart of Jesus. She loved her name. She had a deep devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And in her own words, she said this, "I could never separate the devotion to the Heart of Jesus from the devotion to the Blessed Sacrament. And I will never be able to explain how and how much the Sacred Heart of Jesus deigned to favor me in the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist." My friends, all her life, she burned with love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, she devoted herself to the young girls that were sent to the Good Shepherd Sisters for rehabilitation and care. She had an ardent love for youth ministry. She said the most needy children, the most miserable, the most forsaken children are the children I love best. She was appointed the Mother Superior of the Convent of the Good Shepherd in Porto, Portugal. This house sheltered over 100 girls, most of whom came from poor families and were living on the streets. She also taught the little ones. She taught the little boys and girls, and their families who knew Sister called her a saint. They said the school children loved Sister Mary, and they trusted her like a mother. She taught them games, she taught them songs, plays, and she especially cared for the sick children. She was truly a living saint. Now, when you get to know all that she did, it humbles you. It's amazing. Now, she continued to receive visions and locutions of Jesus Christ. Now, several of his messages to her asked her to contact the Pope to request the consecration of the world to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This was huge. She was a small, shy, humble nun. Who was that Pope? The Pope was Leo XIII. We have Leo XIV, huh? This was Leo XIII. This was about 120 years ago. So on June 10th, Sister Mary wrote to the Pope and told him she received a message from Jesus Christ requesting that the Pope consecrate the entire world to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The Pope did not believe her. He took no action. But we can understand that. Can you imagine how many people write to the Pope asking for things, huh? Well, now, around this time, Sister Mary started not feeling well. She developed myelitis, tuberculosis of the spine. And when it was coming into 7 months later, Sister Mary, she had not heard from the Pope. She wrote him another letter. She wrote him to the Pope asking that she's asking for more. She says, in addition to the consecration of one also, I want the first Fridays of the month to be observed in honor of the Sacred Heart. Now, my friends, 200 years earlier, Jesus asked Sister St. Margaret Mary Alacoque to honor the first Fridays, 9 first Fridays of the month. So now this is 200 years later. So you say, were they not being observed, that Sister Mary of the Sacred, Divine Heart, that she's now asking the Pope that these first Fridays be observed? What courage, huh? Now, in that letter, and this is important, Sister Mary also referred to the recent illness of the Pope and stated that Jesus Christ had assured her that Pope Leo XIII would live until he had performed the consecration of the world to the Sacred Heart. Pope Leo was stunned. No one knew he was ill. And the theologian Laurent Vulcan said it had an emotional impact on Pope Leo. Well, the Pope commissioned an inquiry on the basis of Sister Mary's revelation and church tradition. And in his encyclical letter called Annum Sacrum, he decreed that the consecration of the entire human race to the Sacred Heart of Jesus should take place on June 11th, 1899. He already picked the date. In the encyclical, he referred to the illness about which Sister Mary of the Divine Heart had written. He said in that encyclical, he did have a serious illness that a lot of people were not aware of. And the Pope continues, and I quote him, "There is one further reason that urges us to realize our design. We do not want it to pass by unnoticed. It is personal in nature." Of course it was personal. It was about him. "But just as important," he says, "God, the author of all good, has saved us by healing us recently from a dangerous disease. Pope Leo is admitting to the fact that because he accepted Jesus' desire to consecrate the world to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that God has healed him, just as Sister Mary had told him." she saw it in the newspaper because word got out, made the newspapers, and she saw it. And, oh my, she was so happy. She was so happy. Well, Pope Leo also had a private audience with her parents and told them that their daughter was a chosen soul. She rejoiced. Sister Mary rejoiced when she heard the news. Now, my friends, at this point, Sister Mary was gravely ill. She was paralyzed. Her legs and arms were paralyzed. She was only 35 years old. Her organs were failing. She was confined to her bed in the convent of the Good Shepherd. And on June 8, 1899, she hears singing in the church to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. The sisters were singing the Vespers of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She knows the Pope has answered her prayer. Sister Mary dies that evening of June 8th, the eve of the solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. My friends, can you imagine Jesus, that timing? She dies 3 days before the world consecration that Pope Leo was going to do, had scheduled. He scheduled it for the following Sunday, June 11th. Remember that date, June 11th, 1899. And you know, you say to yourself, why didn't he wait till, why didn't he consecrate it before she died, you know? Well, I believe, maybe you do this too, I believe that Jesus rewarded her faithfulness by having her witness the consecration from the kingdom. Huh? Maybe sitting next to him? Who knows? My friends, a few weeks ago, the bishops of America consecrated America to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. What date did they do it on? June 11th. Is that unbelievable? This faithful little-known sister courageously brought this to fruition by pursuing it with the Pope, no matter how she was rejected or how ill she was. She was truly, my friends, truly chosen by Jesus. Pope Leo XIII called the consecration of the world to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He called it the greatest act of my pontificate. That's how huge it was. Sister Mary died on June 8, 1899. Her spiritual writings were approved by the Vatican. Her cause for sainthood was opened November 1941. She was granted the title Servant of God and Venerable. And on November 1, 1975, she was beatified by Pope Paul VI, now Saint Pope Paul VI, in St. Peter's Square. She is Blessed Mary of the Divine Heart. I give you chills, hmm? Her body was declared incorrupt. Her body never decayed and is exposed for public veneration in the Church of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the town of Ermesinde in northern Portugal. It is adjacent, her body is adjacent to the Convent of the Good Shepherd Sisters. Blessed Mary of the Divine Heart, my friends, pray for her canonization. I believe that when she is canonized, she will be known all over the world. Her Sisters of Charity of the Good Shepherd are still carrying on her work to this day. Now, before she died, the Sacred Heart of Jesus revealed two promises to her through the intercession of Blessed Mary of the Divine Heart. He said this to her: "Know this, my daughter, that by the charity of my heart, I desire to pour out floods of graces through your heart over the hearts of others. This is why people will get close to you with confidence. No one, even the most hardened sinner, will leave your presence without having received in one way or another consolation, relief, or a special grace." What a great promise Jesus made to her. What a promise. You know, I'll be honest with you, as I was putting this together and getting to know her, I just felt that I looked up and I said to her, "Will you be my friend?" I did. I did say that. Will you be my friend? Mm-hmm. And I promise you, I think she wants to get to know you. I think so. I see in Blessed Mary of the Divine Heart great hope for all of us, and I'm going to tell you why. When she first entered the convent, she would pray, but there was a lot of work to do in the convent. Schoolwork, busy in the convent, and in her heart she longed for a deeper prayer life of contemplation. Does that sound familiar? It frustrated her. So she asked Jesus, how do I make that happen when I am constantly working and busy? Jesus said to her, when you work, I work through you. When you rest, I rest in you. In everything you do, it shall not be you, but me within you. I see with your eyes, work with your hands. I speak with your mouth, and I pray through you. How beautiful is that? So, so beautiful. Sister Mary loved to teach the children songs, brought joy to their hearts. She herself loved to sing. She sang in the choir with the sisters. So now to thank her for all that she did for us with the consecration of the world, I'd like to sing one of my songs, one of my songs that speaks so much of what Sister Mary believed in and professed to the world. There's a painting that shows her standing over the universe with Jesus, and there is a light surrounding the whole painting. She always spoke of the light of Christ surrounding the world. God of truth, light, the bread of life, the savior of the world. My song is called Jesus, You Are the Christ. I want to sing it for you. I'm going to ask Patrick, our producer, engineer, and now video person, to play it for you.
So I'm human, not divine. Lord, I need your hand in mine. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word made flesh, born to dwell.
My friends, the second promise Jesus made to her. Mary, Sister Mary, said for a long time she wanted to build a church on the Good Shepherd property, but was uncertain as to whom it should be dedicated to. She said, I prayed and consulted many people. Well, on the first Friday of the month, I asked our Lord to enlighten me. After Holy Communion, after the Eucharist, he said to me, I desire that the church be consecrated to my heart. What else? You must erect here a place of reparation. From my part, I will make it a place of graces. I will distribute copiously graces to all who live in this house, the convent, those who live here now, those who will live hereafter, and even to the people of their relations. Then Jesus told me that the church above all is to be a place of reparation for sacrileges, and to obtain graces for the clergy. Hallelujah. My friends, what a beautiful combination of spiritual graces promised by Jesus himself to this simple, humble sister. It's Blessed Mary of the Divine Heart. Blessed Mary, will you be my friend? Mm-hmm. Will you be the friend of our listeners? She'll be your friend. I know it. I know you're waiting. I know you're waiting for them. Why? Go to her. Remember what Jesus said to her, that many will go to her because they have confidence in her. She will turn away no one. God bless you. I love you.